responsable del 50% de las emisiones contaminantes, mientras que el 50% más pobre es responsable de solo 7% de las emisiones contaminantes. Por eso a mí me llama la atención, es un poco extraño llamar aquí a Estados Unidos y a China al mismo nivel. Estados Unidos llegará si acaso a 300 millones de habitantes. China tiene casi 5 veces más población que Estados Unidos. Estados Unidos consume más de 20 millones de barriles diarios de petróleo. China llega apenas a 5 o 6 millones de barriles diarios. No se puede pedir lo mismo a Estados Unidos y a China. Es allí temas que hay que discutir. Ojalá pudiéramos los jefes de Estado y de gobierno sentarnos a discutir de verdad, verdad, sobre estos temas. Luego, señor presidente, el 60% de los ecosistemas del planeta están dañados. El 20% de la corteza terrestre está degradada. Hemos sido testigos impasibles de la deforestación, la conversión de tierras, la desertificación, las alteraciones de los sistemas de agua dulce, la sobreexplotación de los recursos marinos, la contaminación y la pérdida de la diversidad biológica. La utilización exacerbada de la tierra sobrepasa en un 30% la capacidad para regenerarla. El planeta está perdiendo, bueno, la capacidad para autorregularse. Eso lo está perdiendo el planeta. Cada día se liberan más desechos de los que pueden ser procesados.
Y después es el programa de Bathrop Spears Broadsides en inglés que lastima, pero es mi lengua y no puedo hablar español muy bueno. Entonces, gracias por su atención y hay más de programas en español más tarde posiblemente. Se puede encontrar las cosas en los programas at www.freakradio.org y se puede ver no sé cómo se dice en español the schedule there. So entonces, next is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Stay tuned. And that was a selection from Blue Dahlia called Just For You. I actually got this at the Human Rights Fair that, I don't know, we're going to call you Cliffhanger Chris or...
No, you can go with the Curb Hugger. That's all right. I'm not all the time.
Well, I know you're a mountain
man. I mean, I'm also a mountain man, Chris.
You're a mountain man, Chris.
Yeah. And I'm very proud. Well, I'm very proud of that aspect of my lifestyle. So.
In any case, Chris is my co-host tonight, and
thank you.
For better or for worse.
Good
or
evening,
perhaps
Santa
worse
Cruz.
And worse, who knows.
Shout out to all of the folks out there here in Santa Cruz. Good evening. Yeah. And happy holidays.
You are tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. Call-in number here is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. And I believe we have a caller.
Oh, my goodness. It's like a game show almost, isn't it?
Indeed. Hello. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I'm glad to be on the air with you. Robert, I don't know where you are in your program, so if I've interrupted something, I'm sorry.
We're just beginning, but sign in. Let us know who you are. Of course, I know who you are, but
right.
You tell.
Well, I just want to... I'm Eleanor. You know who I am. And yes, that's right. They don't know.
Good evening, Eleanor.
Appealing to your listening audience right now on a very serious issue.
Okay.
On Monday at 8:30 in the morning, the union for the in-home support workers is going to go before the Board of Supervisors again to try and get them to stop the pay cuts and all these things they want to do to the in-home support workers. So I'm here to ask all you good people out there who are listening to Robert Show to please call 454-2200 tomorrow and tell the County Board of Supervisors that you oppose it and tell them to keep their commitment to the wages and all of the things that have been in place for the in-home support workers. I don't know if you know about this, but the state is looking to cut the wages by $2 an hour of these precious people who come into the homes of the disabled who would not be able to be living in their homes independently if it wasn't for this bargain of a deal with these workers.
And in fact, it's my understanding there's not actually a good plan for what comes after, even if we do lose these workers. It's not even sure what we're going to do with these people who are now in their homes.
Well,
and have nowhere to go. I'm Chris, by the way, Eleanor, and we haven't met yet, but I think you're wonderful already.
Same way about you. Well, one of the biggest problems is, there's so much wrong with it. It's punitive to begin with. It's hurtful to the disabled and to the people who care for them. And a serious problem is here, we don't have enough beds in Santa Cruz for all of the people that are going to be forced out of their homes because they can't live in their homes safely, independently. They need in-home support workers.
I mean, we've got a number of disabled people living on the streets already. I can vouch for that myself.
Absolutely, that's what it does.
And we've got, and there's no room at the end, so you're right.
Absolutely.
Can you give us a number one more time, Eleanor? And everybody, before you do that, Eleanor, I'd just like to, encourage everybody out there. If you're listening to the show tonight, this is participatory radio here. We encourage you, keep a pencil and a pad of paper, nearby during the show. Keep your laptop open or whatever. We give a lot of info out, a lot of URLs, a lot of phone numbers during the show.
Beautiful.
So please, I encourage you, if you're listening out there tonight, take this information down. Usually it's very easy to get involved. Now, in this case, this lady is asking us just to make a phone call. So that's not hard, man, to make a difference. So, okay, go ahead, Eleanor, and give them the phone number one more time.
Sure.
And tell them what you want them to do when they call.
Okay. The telephone number of the County Board of Supervisors is 454-2200. And when you call them, you just give them your opinion and tell them to keep their commitment to the in-home support workers to not let this wage reduction take place. They're looking to take $2 an hour. And they're cutting their benefits, their health care benefits, and they want fingerprinting, which is ludicrous because anybody who lives in California is already fingerprinted when they get a driver's license. So, and like you said, who's going to pay for all this? But the whole thing is, it's really being punitive to the most vulnerable people in our society.
You know, Eleanor, we actually had Julie Costanza Gomez talking about this issue a couple weeks ago prior to the sleep out at the town clock that was held a week ago. Well,
it was
Monday before.
It was a vigil, right?
Yeah, it was a vigil Monday before last. Then they went to the supervisors meeting on Tuesday. And I think you mean Tuesday, not Monday.
Yes, you're right.
So it's Tuesday that the Board of Supervisors meets.
Well, I don't know. He said he told the rep called me, the union rep called us and told us that.
Maybe there's a special meeting on Monday. Who knows?
They're having a special meeting on Monday with them.
That's weird.
Is it Monday the 21st? Yeah. That's what he told us, and he said, please encourage people to call. This is the kind of thing that in their hearts they may feel good about it, but they don't see. I mean, they see the firemen doing their jobs. They see the sanitation men doing their jobs. They see the police doing their jobs, so they can appreciate their work. When it comes to people coming into the homes and taking care of disabled people for low wages to begin with, and keeping us, we have a life.
Well, full disclosure, Eleanor, you are yourself disabled, and this is going to cut back on services to you as well, right?
Yes, everyone. Yes.
And my understanding also from listening to what Julie told me a couple weeks ago, correct me if I'm wrong, is that other counties have restored these cuts. They attempted to make these cuts last year, and they were beaten back for a number of, I guess, what there was a judicial beat back, and there was another beat back, but Santa Cruz and Fresno counties are the two California counties that have not done this.
I know, and they said they would.
Right. I mean, I that's what I was told by
Julie. Robert and Chris and everybody out there, it's penny wise and dollar foolish.
It always is. They never think of the consequences, or if they do, they just don't give a shit.
Think about it. All of the money that the disabled people, we all have incomes of one sort or another, however we became disabled. And that adds up to a lot of money. And my basic point here to make, I'm tiring, I'm sorry.
That's okay, Eleanor.
Well,
you've made
your point, Eleanor. Like, it's good.
Yeah, well,
you know.
Just one more point I wanted to make. It's $8,000 to $10,000 a month for a bed in a nursing home. $8,000 to $10,000 a month.
As compared to, have you done the math on what they're saving by these cuts, the
$2
cuts?
They're not saving. It's going to cost them because that nursing home money won't stay in Santa Cruz.
Right, right.
It'll go out of Santa Cruz.
Well, they're removing $2 an hour from 130,000 in-home care workers. Well, I don't know. How many in-home care workers do we have in Santa Cruz County, do you know?
I'm not certain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give just anecdotal testimony. I see them every day. Every day,
really
dozens of them.
I shouldn't give a number because I don't know.
Right there in the mall.
But
yeah.
Anyway, once again, 454-2200.
And you've got to call that number during business hours. The Board of Supervisors is too cheap to maintain a 24-hour voicemail, unlike the Santa Cruz City Council, which maintains a voicemail but doesn't listen to what you have to say.
Right.
The Board of Supervisors you can't even reach them, but you can reach them between 8 and 5, I believe, on weekdays.
Yes, everyone out there who, I know your audience are caring people, and so please.
We like to think
now, is there a number that people can call where they can get more information about this?
Not really. That's the only message we have, to spread is, because they're the important ones.
Well, the only other thing I could say is I do have some street spirits that have a very nice article on this topic as well.
Good.
And if you want to run into me, any of the listeners out there, tomorrow in front of the Gap or Borders, one of the two on Pacific Avenue, I got some street spirits and some information on this very, very exact topic. And I think also there's a bunch of stuff in there and organizations that are fighting for this on a statewide county level. Eleanor's effort, I think, is more grassroots. But I my understanding is there are organizations out there.
Well, what we might do, Eleanor, if you want to contact your union, is ask, or their union, is ask if they want to deliver some literature to Chris tomorrow when he's down in front of the Gap.
Absolutely.
You might want to pass it along with the Street Spirit article. You know?
I'd be more than happy to help out that way. So just anybody out there interested, come down and see me.
You're going
to
be on Pacific Avenue by the Gap.
Either the Gap or Borders. I know where they are.
Gap or Borders.
Describe what you look like, Chris, so she'll know you're...
I'm not going to be going.
For the listeners out there, pretty much everybody knows Kurt Bugger, Chris. Full camo, that's it. That's all you really need to say.
He wears head-to-toe camouflage. He's got a red hair, a beard, and a...
Okay.
And a... All right. He's a saucy-looking fellow.
What time did you say you're going to be there?
I'm there all day, ma'am. I'm there all daylight hours.
I'll give them a call tomorrow and leave that message.
Sure. And for all the listeners, if you want to learn more, just come on down and see me, and I'll give you a street spirit.
And you can also leave a message, Eleanor, at 423-HUFF, my home phone.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling,
Eleanor.
Hey, thanks, Eleanor. And, again, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. My boss in the studio is Kurt Bugger Chris, also known as Mountain Man Chris. He's out there on the streets. Well, I'm warm and comfy in my little room.
Oh, I've never held that against you.
I would hope not. I mean, in any case, if you want to call in, you can. 427-3772 is our call-in number. I'm probably going to launch pretty quickly into a series of older interviews that I'm trying to catch up on. But before I do, I will kind of read a few selections from this Sentinel article. Santa Cruz County in-home care workers hold vigil against possible pay cut. And this is December 8th, so it's about a week and a half ago. Again, this was the Monday before last vigil at the town clock. Anatalia Avila, a grandmother of four who has worked part-time as a county home care provider for 24 years, said her clients are the ones who will suffer if she and colleagues have to take a pay cut. In the face of deep state cutbacks for social services, the County Board of Supervisors could reduce the hourly pay rate for home care workers from $11.50 to $9.50, according to the union representing 1,400 local providers. So it's 1,400 in the county was a question I'd asked Eleanor. The county also has not settled on whether to share the increased cost for health care for 400 workers who qualify, the union said. While workers for in-home support services await the outcome of negotiations between SEIU and the county, they gathered Monday for a candlelight vigil at the town clock to raise awareness about the potential pay cuts. Care providers said they would stay until the wee hours of the morning, braving temperatures that were expected to dip below freezing and hopefully not falling asleep to violate the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban.
God forbid.
Or covering up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night. We don't want that blanket ban violated either. We are talking about saving lives and making people happy, said Avila, a 50-year resident of Watsonville. Everyone deserves to be healthy and happy. The in-home care program is designed to keep low-income elderly and disabled people from institutional care by providing in-home services such as feeding, medication, cleaning, and transportation. Providers say the amount of time they spend with patients will be cut if their pay is slashed, which means taxpayers could spend more to institutionalize patients whose needs aren't met. County officials said they are limited in what they can say because the Board of Supervisors will discuss the matter in closed session today. Actually, that was, Tuesday before last. But county spokeswoman Dinah Phillips said the County Board of Supervisors are very supportive of the IHSS workers. We know the services they provide are essential. The problem is these wage reductions were imposed by the state, not the county. Again, as I said before, my understanding from Julie Costanza Gomez, one of the in-home care workers organizers, is that other counties have rejected these cuts, but Santa Cruz and Fresno counties so far have not. I don't know how accurate that is, and of course the Sentinel doesn't seem to be broadcasting that information, who knows?
You can trust that.
Yeah.
Our good old local branch of the Fox News can syndicate here, what I mean?
We call it the urinal here, fondly,
in the
studio.
That works for me. That works for me.
But county spokeswoman, let's see.
Kind of an insult to a urinal, though. I mean, they're kind of useful. If you clean one up.
Advocates for the home care services filed a federal class action lawsuit against the state 2 months ago to prevent cuts that would reduce or eliminate care for 130,000 people statewide. A federal judge barred California from cutting wages, but the state has appealed. Jose Martinez, a union rep spokesman, said wage cuts would violate the spirit of the county's living wage ordinance, which says private contractors doing business with the county must pay their employees at least $13.50 per hour and provide paid sick leave and vacation time. Half of the funding for home care workers' salaries comes from federal sources, while 36% comes from the state, and the county picks up the remaining. So it looks like it's about, 14%? That's, Yeah, it is. The county picks up the remaining 14%.
Not a 14%. Heavy burden on a county level. I think they got a good deal. I mean, what the hell are they complaining about?
Hard to say. But, yeah, it's only 14% compared to the other entities. Of course, those other entities are much richer than the county. Martinez said the union isn't asking the county to pick up the state share, but rather just to maintain the county funding. We know the county is in financial straits, but we only ask they continue their commitment, he said. Avila, the veteran home care worker, said she hopes the vigil would get the attention of county leaders so they will do what is right for our elders and disabled residents. And then, of course, there are a series of comments that follows this news item. And I'm kind of looking them over as best I can. So maybe there's some additional information here. There's some criticisms of the SEIU union.
Well, there, you know, the one thing I can just add to this is that I just recently moved here from Maine and spent a lot of time last year involved in politics in the state of Maine, and that's quite a long ways away from here. But I know that was a top issue throughout last year in Maine. So it's going on all over the country. These home care workers are really taking a beating.
Critics are saying, however, that just so everyone is clear, says one Santa Cruz taxpayer, the vast majority of in-home care providers are family members of the person for which care is being provided. That's right. You can take care of your parent with Alzheimer's and get paid for this service. In-home support services is the biggest scam, he says, that there is, and it should be eliminated. Those same people taking care of their parents are also notorious for filing work compensation claims. Do not be fooled by the whiners in the union, because if this program goes away, nothing will happen, period. I don't think I would agree with that, but that's what one critic online says.
I'd like to answer that criticism. I have an interesting anecdote on these home care workers, okay? I sleep, as some of you know, when I'm here in Santa Cruz on the river bottom, San Lorenzo River Bottom, traditional kind of spot to sleep. Well, every morning as I'm waking up right about 8 o'clock, I'll witness something that most people would either be very startled by, or perhaps some people are very offended by it. Some people will actually hurl insults at this person. But I will see this lady. Now, I'm not medically familiar with what her condition is, but I can tell you I have never known anybody or seen anybody with my own eyes more physically handicapped than this person. As far as I can tell, she is. Completely paraplegic. I mean, from the neck down. I think it's just delightful that she gets in her wheelchair, or she's put in her wheelchair by her home care worker, every morning on the levee way, by that levee way that runs along San Lorenzo River, and she'll just race up and down in her wheelchair. It's all she can do, and she sings as she's going up and down, and that's all she can do. She can sing, and she can work the wheelchair only with her tongue, and she races up and down and has the most incredible time. But I know for a fact that if there weren't a home care worker somewhere at one end of that levee or the other to put her in that wheelchair and let her have that morning, call it her morning jog or whatever. I mean, I'm very delighted by seeing her go whizzing up and down the levee way every morning. I think she's very delighted by the chance to be able to do it. Uh-huh. I mean, which would be, something she would never be able to entertain on her own.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, actually another response, and that's a touching story. Another response online to this is that response, the folks critical of the SEIU, this is a hard worker writing back. The response criticizing these in-home care workers has to be one of the most ignorant, pig-headed responses I've ever heard.
Agreed.
I'm also a taxpayer that actually has to pay a lot of taxes for the little amount I make. If in-home support services was not available, I would not be able to care for my mother, who is 100% bedbound. I just would not be able to afford it. I only get paid for 8 hours work a day while I work 24 hours a day. But I will take that, and over half the money I make I spend on supplies to care for my mother. Gets an SDIS check, SDISI check, whatever that is, which does not even cover her rent. So let her put in a nursing home, you idiot, which would cost $2,000. Then will we really be saving money? And there's more discussion on the topics, but I think if you want to find out more, you can obviously come on down to the Board of Supervisors either on Monday or Tuesday. I guess if they say it's Monday the 21st, could be a special meeting. You might want to go online and try to find
out
about that.
The union website has some information, too, I'm sure.
And the union website probably has some better information than the Sentinel website. But here I am on the Sentinel website. But
you really think?
It's not. Yeah, I would suspect so, yeah. So you can call in if you have any thoughts on this or other issues. I generally cover civil rights for poor people and homeless folks. And
if you're a reporter for the Sentinel and you take exception to our critique of your newspaper, go ahead and call in, too. We'd love to hear
first.
Yeah, sure. Wouldn't that be something?
And we'll see if that happens. So let's turn to now some of the interviews that I have left behind. I'm probably not going to be able to catch up, and who knows, perhaps I shouldn't bother. But these were from the Human Rights Fair, Chris, which you were at, you may remember, a week ago.
Oh, yeah. We had a good time.
It's a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago now, Saturday before last. There was a fair on December 5th, which first, of course, we did a parade downtown.
I'm actually still swooning over that incredible elocution that our wonderful mayor delivered to the
right. Well, there was a parade downtown at which, you know, Huff singers were blasted out by the downtown pro-police. It's hard to say exactly what they were, but who knows? There was a sort of a Huff singers sang some songs about the problems that poor and homeless people suffer at the hands of the anti-homeless laws, which are enforced by the Santa Cruz Police Department. I mean, there's no question about it. And we had one song which I talked to Sergeant Harms about today called Sergeant Harms is Coming to Town. Sergeant Harms is coming.
That was Sergeant
downtown.
Harms on the sidewalk this afternoon?
And that was Sergeant Harms on the sidewalk. We were chatting about that.
Goodness.
He wanted to know who wrote the lyrics, and I told him that I only wrote one stanza, maybe two, but we are trying to update it, and if he updates his practices, we'll update the song. I mean, that's something that I actually didn't mention that to him, but that's certainly true.
Well, so he was actually trying to figure out, wow, I...
Well, no, he was.
So what would he do with that information, though? I mean, what is he going to do if we tell him who wrote the song?
It's chit-chat that Sergeant Harms makes. Sergeant Harms usually has some retorts for me when he sees me because he feels that I give the police department an unfair rap on this show. I try to be fair, but I do
really?
Have a point of view, and I'm also expressing the viewpoint of people who I interview often.
Well, why doesn't he call in if he's got a problem?
Well, he's probably... He does speak on tape, and we have been able to get Sergeant Harms giving us interviews, and of course, he is in public on the street, and so when he's tape recorded, we get to know what he has to say. In fact, we may be playing some tape of his tonight, but let's turn to the Human Rights Fair that happened, as I said, Saturday before last, and these are some interviews and some conversations that we had at the Huff table. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's a civil rights group for poor people that had a table, which I guess you were helping to staff, Chris.
Yeah, no, I had a great time up there, and I want to encourage people to keep that on their radar next year. I think more people should have gone today. It was a great time had by all. I mean, it was really cool. And
Speak for yourself, Chris.
Well, very educational, too. I mean, walking the booths, I learned a lot that I everybody...
There were numerous booths. Yeah. There were the Democratic Party had a booth defending our great Führer, Obama.
Amnesty International, though, had a non-controversial booth.
ACLU had Mike Rotkin as spokesman. He's
also
our
mayor. And that's a combination that's born for each other because they're both about friggin' worthless. So
they were born
to sleep together.
Yes, although in other cities, apparently the ACLU has taken a stand on behalf
of
the rights.
Well, great, but I don't live
people.
In other cities. So as far as I'm concerned, they're as useful as
for
our
sure.
mayor.
For sure. Here we go.
He rode on the fire truck, I noticed, not with the cops.
He's trying
why,
to.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Most mayors ride with the cops.
Let's hear a few of these interviews here.
So it's around 3 o'clock here at the Huff table in Human Rights Land or Loudon Nelson Center. And Valerie, you've been at the table pretty much continuously for the last couple hours.
Not really. I've been coming to visit it. I've had several people cover it. Chris and Becky have been here covering the table, and now Rick is here. So I've been kind of coming in and out, just being around it.
But you did mention that when you did this last year, in the same building, a similar table. I think you even only had half a table, and we have a whole table this time, and people have not shown up for their tables. People, I guess, were assigned half tables, and because they didn't show up, we expanded our territory. But there were a much larger number of people, right?
Well, I remember the room being packed at one point, and just people coming around like crazy. It seems like maybe it wasn't advertised as well or something, but there's not as many people. It looks like about half the amount of people that were here last time. Maybe less.
Well, we know that Obama will save us, therefore why bother with human rights? It could, in fact, have been that last year in December, there was, a lot of optimism about the incoming Democratic regime, Democratic Party regime, I should say, the Obamanoids. Any other differences between last year and this year that you've noticed?
Not really.
Well, then, thank you very much. So, Rick was refusing to be interviewed, but he will confirm that last year there was a larger crowd.
Jesus Christ, Robert.
Now, that Jesus was not here at this time.
You really have to ask me that question. Yes, there were more people here last year than this year. Now, turn that off.
He's a man who is unafraid to show his utter rejection of attack interviews, or I guess ambush interviews might be the appropriate term. I'm talking, it's about five after four, and we just missed an opportunity to humiliate the mayor, sadly enough, as he gave his empty speech about human rights while in Santa Cruz. Of course, he denies homeless people basic human rights and supports those that criminalize them. But here at the homeless table, or the Huff table, I should say, there is a new flyer that has arrived. What is Green Mental Health Care and Green Mental Health Care Day, Sunday, December 13th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's a week, 8 days hence. Is apparently coming up. And giving out these green flyers is...
Ginny Gomez. I'm on the Santa Cruz Mental Health Board. I'm a family member. My son has experienced the system. And I have been a teacher for migrant education in Watsonville and Santa Cruz City Schools and Live Oak School District. And I've been on the board for a couple of years. And right now we have Prop 63. Prop 63 is supposed to transform the mental health system.
Hardy, har, har.
And we're supposed to do things that we haven't done before. Think outside of the box.
Lock them up and drug them down.
Right. So, you know, it's slowly changing a bit, but we need more people to come to board meetings and be more involved. We need to televise the board meetings so you can see who's making the decisions. That's very important. We meet at Building K every third Thursday of the month, but really we should have our meetings out in the county where people get served. And
Building K is at the online center?
Yes. Our director, in Monterey County, the board members, what they do is take a county van and they all go out together and they have meetings at the site where people are being served. But our director thinks that I don't know the people of the county, but hello, I know the people of the county. And I know that our county wants good services and quality services. So I think it's important that we go out to the sites where people are being served so they know who their ombudsman is.
What kind of services are folks with mental health diagnoses getting? I mean, I guess you get some more stipends from the government, ability to get housing under certain circumstances, managed care, and then a whole shitload of drugs.
Well, it seems that, in our system here in Santa Cruz County, for our mental health, our doctor for mental health is a psychiatrist. And we think that we need a different type of doctor. We need an integrated doctor, someone who may have psychiatry, but other experience and other types of testing for people so people aren't just handed out drugs like candy because, you know, we're having a lot of suicides in the town, and I think it's a reflection of our lack of changing how we serve people.
What's the name of the doctor who you're referring to?
We have now Dr. Johnson. And he's a psychiatrist, and a psychiatrist, like a surgeon, a psychiatrist wants to give you a medication, to give you a label. And I think it's time that we stop giving people labels and see what the real problem is. So that's why I invite you to come to the Green Mental Health Fair on December 13th from 10 to 6. If you're a veteran or a senior, it's free. And if you're on medication, just show your prescription, and you get in for free.
University Inn and Convention Center at 611 Ocean Street. That's the old Holiday Inn, right?
That's right.
Now the University Inn, I think it's called.
Right.
Now, some people have been talking about alternative kinds of programs for people who are, you know, stuck, addicted to these drugs, and who face significant withdrawal problems if they withdraw. On the other hand, it's been shown by authors like Robert Whittaker in his famous book, Mad in America, quoting from, you know, reputable reports that those who don't take drugs over the long run, generally, although, you know, obviously varies from case to case, have a better rate of recovery than those who don't. Those who do, because the drugs affect the dopamine receptors and the serotonin producers, some of which I sometimes understand and sometimes don't. So what alternative approaches? I know there were some that came up in the 70s. I know you had, I guess some are being tried by a survivor up in Alaska. Jim Gottstein is working on some programs in that regard. Anything in Santa Cruz County?
Well, right now we have, when I went to see Alternative to Medication in San Francisco, Alternative to Meds, it was run by, they have a psychiatrist and they have other people on board to help people get off the medications and have the least possible. And they're using some orthomolecular, where you test what the body needs, you detox the body, you get sweat, and whatever their techniques that they're using, they help people lower their drug, their medication intake and get off the drugs, and they start working in the program. It's now located in Sedona, Arizona, and it's called Alternative to Meds. And
it's a costly program. You can, poor people, homeless people get access to them. What's involved there?
They can't, and that's why we need to change policy. Everybody needs to find out who their supervisor. If you live in Santa Cruz City, your supervisor is Neil Coonerty, and he is on our mental health board. And if you want alternative treatment, you need to go to his office, and you need to write some letters. CC him, and CC, you know, you need to...
It's sympathetic. I've often thought of Coonerty as, for example, towards homeless people. He's been pretty militantly pro-business, get him off the streets, sleeping ban, that sort of thing.
Well, I noticed about Neil, he wants health care for all, but one of my friends was a client from South County, and she was saying all the things that we're not getting, and I think it's important to recognize people who are teachers like her in the community that are stepping up to be on the steering committee to say what they need to be listened to, and she felt like she wasn't being listened to.
I've never called Coonerty ever listen to me, but then again, I say things I know pretty much he disagrees with. So. He's a merchant. He's done some good things. He has a bookstore that's open to the community, unless he's evicted you, as he's evicted me. I've been banned for the last 15 years from his bookstore. But, you know, bathrooms have been open to the community, which is a positive thing. And in some respects, he has a liberal reputation at the level of Board of Supervisors. Of course, he's on the Board of Supervisors as well as on your mental health board. What can people do to get more information about this? How can they contact you? How can they learn more about the Green Mental Health Care Day? Let's suppose they miss that day. Okay. How can they get more information?
If you call 440-8686, again, that's 440-8686, and 86 means getting rid of the present care that we have and replacing it with something new. Again, 440-8686, and you want to talk to me? My home phone number is 464-3554, and we do need other people to sign up on the mental health board if you have a lot of experience in knowing, or you want to come learn how to process to make things change. We really need you.
And again, we've been talking with
Ginny Gomez.
And Ginny, have you got a website that you can recommend too?
Yes, greenbodyandmind.com.
Thank you. We're talking with the...
And before we leave that again, those numbers are 440-8686, area code 831, 440-8686, and Ginny's home phone. If you want to talk to her personally directly about this, she's on the mental health board, 464-3554, looking for alternatives to drugging and to psychiatric professionalism, domination of your choice of what you want to do, plus the right to informed consent.
Well, we could always just end the regime that drives these people crazy in the first place, too, because I'm convinced that a lot of these folks develop these mental issues and mental disorders to the degree they got them through repressive regime on the streets. I mean, if you live in a cardboard box under the boot heel of fascism for 10 years, you're bound to go nuts. I mean, I feel like I'm going crazy myself sometimes. It's a truthful sensation on my part. I mean, I just know from my own experience, I feel like I'm... going to need some help there pretty soon myself if I don't get some relief.
And we will help you. Take my word for it.
I'll bet
we have medications that can assist you.
I'll look good in a rubber room, too, man. I'd love to bounce around for a while.
Forest Dweller, your name, madam?
Teresa Fitzpatrick.
And you say you're not homeless. You're home?
In the woods.
And you, what are the trees are your companions? What do you do with your poo-poo and your pee-pee?
Bury it.
Now, what about your food? What do you eat, nuts and berries?
No, I cook a lot of brown rice, beans, tofu, some meats, very little. A lot of good food.
So you risk fire, danger, and destroying our beautiful green belt with your questionable campfire?
No, actually, I don't.
What do you mean you don't? What, do you have some special magic wand that will stop? Our valiant firefighters have fought back. Admittedly, some said it was a controlled burn by the sheriff's department about marijuana that started the fire. I don't believe such rumors. Anyway, how long have you been out in the forest acting like a wild woman?
Well, this time around, this is my fourth winter.
And how is it out there for a single? Are you single out there? Are you?
Yes.
No snow lover?
My dog.
You and your dog?
Me and my dog.
I'm not going to start making dog jokes here at this time, folks. So, have you had any problems with Ranger John Wallace, the bane of the homeless out in the Poconip?
No, because I live on private property. But if I ventured even close into Nicene Marks, I would be in serious trouble.
Why do you say that?
Because they have absolutely no tolerance.
And by they, you mean?
The Rangers.
But the Rangers are there to protect the environment. Aren't you a part of the environment?
Absolutely.
Not according to Ranger John Wallace.
Well, that's his opinion.
So you would say, how long have you been homed in the green? In 4 years, you say?
This time.
Before that, what were you doing?
I worked in a hospital for 30 years.
What kind of work?
Wiping people's asses. Perfectly honest.
An attendant. Please. We have a children present.
I worked in Dominican Hospital for 6 years. I worked in Mercy Hospital. I worked in just a lot of cardiac. I've been a very good professional.
Your moolah boola now? What, are you going around stealing hubcaps?
I'm going to school for landscaping and horticulture at Cabrillo.
And are you living on savings? Are you a favored child with a secret trust fund? Are you?
No, I'm in poverty and I'm living well.
Tell us your secrets.
Mother Nature. She provides everything for me.
I'll try to worm it out of her later, folks. Any messages for the Free Radio audience out there about what people should do who are living out there? Are you a person who leaves great bundles of trash around? We have another homeless camper over here.
No, I'm highly opposed to it, and I do a lot of cleaning up and stewarding on the land.
I prefer the title housing terrorist, if you don't mind, sir.
The housing terrorist. Well, there you have it. We have the international terrorist, Obama, and then we have the local housing terrorist. Terrorists everywhere, it seems.
I was wearing a T-shirt which had a picture of Obama kind of crudely taped over Bush with the words international terrorist kind of describing his job skills. Chris, you have any comments here?
I'm not going to be baited into a debate on Obama tonight. I refuse.
Oh, good. Good.
I'll stand down on that one.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything you want to add before we leave this dialogue?
I also like on the property that the dogs don't have to be on leashes, and they get along so well off their leashes.
Now, do you ever bring your dogs down to Pacific Avenue and flout the law?
No.
Because, you know, on Pacific Avenue, whether you got a leash or not, dogs are a no-no.
Oh, my dog was in the Aptos parade, and she was off-leash. I know it was evil, but she and I just agreed that it was the right thing to do, to flout the law. Yeah, 4th of July, so that was our statement.
We're going to have to leave this evil discussion. And again, we've been talking with...
Guilty as charged.
Again, you're...
Teresa Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Teresa. Halloween, I believe it was, this last week. She doesn't want to be recorded. All right, there, no one's going to get to know what this woman has to say. One on the radio show is going to be, perhaps later, people will get to know what.
That's why she's stepping out.
There'll be a synopsis coming out. How can people get access to this?
I am still involved in the research.
Right, she's researching. But this really isn't about your violence analysis. This is about something you just observed more broadly.
The woman who's reluctant to speak is one of the crusty, hidebound ACLU members at the ACLU table, which was later being managed and staffed by Mayor Mike Rodkin, who's also on the board of directors there.
again, my opinion of the ACLU is pretty low. I mean, it seems to me they pick their battles. They pick them for political glamour, self-glamorization. I don't know. I mean, I've been in this business a while, too. You know, it's not like I'm new to activism, and it's not like the ACLU isn't a feature of the playing field, and I'm just not impressed. I'm sorry. I'm not impressed with with their results. I'm not impressed with the battles they choose to fight. I don't think they're... You know, they're helpful to the most amount of people who need the help, who need to fight for justice.
Particularly,
you know,
poor people in Santa Cruz.
Well, and poor people everywhere. I mean, I think they're, you know, they pick their bat. If you're the right poor person in the right place at the right time, you're going to benefit.
Well, I will say that the ACLU in Los Angeles, San Diego, and I guess Sacramento, as well as Laguna Beach, have successfully challenged sleeping bans, although Sacramento's challenge is still under negotiation. So I will thank them for their action there, and I will denounce the local...
Well, I'm not denouncing them. I'm not denouncing them. I'm just saying I'm not impressed.
Locally,
I've seen more successful organizations as far as being helpful to us, you know, in our problems. So.
Fair enough. And I think we are going to have to turn the tape over, and that could involve some serious technical activity. But... while we're doing that, or actually while sort of as a breather, let's...
God, Robert, you're so high-tech.
Let's.
I'm so blown away.
I kind of admire my own skills here.
Star Trek in here, man. I'm serious.
Well, that's because your microphone is turned down.
On that, too. That just, you know, just adds to the polish of the show.
Well, we're trying to do kind of, you know, some gritty-nitty stuff, so to speak.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, we have a call. This could be our salvation or our destruction. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert and Chris.
Welcome to your doom.
Hello.
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 Let's see. Let's start with and this and that and then that and then how about that? Okay, now, let me get this through to Mr. Rotkin. And I hope you disinfected his seat and the microphone as he left the interview last week.
Well, that's a rather rude thing to say about our mayor,
thing
I must
to say.
I'm sorry?
A few. Hello, Rob. Hello, Chris. How
hello.
Is this,
how are you?
Is this the questionable drum circle Dave calling in?
Yeah, you know.
Oh,
well,
God,
Dave, I know that
every
Wednesday you give us a report from the drum circle at the farmer's market or near it on parking lot 4. Did it all go well yesterday?
No, I'm sick, man. I got a bad cold.
Well, you didn't get to the drum circle. You got nothing to say except rude comments
about
our mayor.
I had to stay warm with my Bic lighter on a bench.
Don't tell
downtown.
Us. Don't tell
there's
us what you did with it. Don't tell us.
A very rare few of benches. They're getting rarer, as you well know.
Mm.
And
well, benches are kind of disappearing downtown. We've
but penguins
about
are everywhere, though.
There are many penguins which make it illegal to sit within 14 feet because penguins need to have that kind of space to feel comfortable.
That's right.
Or at least those looking at the sculptures need to have that, according to our former mayor, Cynthia Matthews.
I encourage everybody to steal a penguin of your very own. Just grab one. They're actually free. I think the city actually wants you to take them. So just pluck one right off their little pedestal, bring it home, stick it on your lawn. It's better than a lawn gnome.
I have nothing to do with this kind of criminal activity.
Oh, yes, actually. I always I love
penguin. It's a diseased form of penguin love. But anyway, Drum Circle Dave, anything more you wish to say before we consign you to your in-home care less sickness at home?
Anyway, I want a couple of fountains, and I want about 10 benches, and let's see, what else do we need down there that would brighten up the garden mall?
Right.
Oh, I want homeless laws abolished. I would like...
It sounds like you're making a list for Christmas there, Dave.
Like,
Santa Claus ain't here, buddy.
Yes. I would like every hotel to donate at least one room, be it the smallest room they can, a closet, maybe a cupboard,
idea,
like
actually.
The Jews used to hide in during the Holocaust. But anyway, yes, I'd like every business that has a room to give anyone shelter. For, you know, one or two nights, you know, whatever they can afford, you know, without getting any money or, you know,
Well, that's,
you know,
that's
any conversation. That, they'll even probably help clean the place.
They're
give them a vacuum cleaner, and they'll do the hallways or something, and give it back, because, hey, they have no electricity out here on the streets.
Well, I know we all have our wish list, and I thank you for passing on yours. Anything you want to say before I cut you off at the neck?
Rudely cut you off.
Yeah, about those people up in Edmonton, you know, that are freezing their balls off out in the streets because some crony in some little smug office who pushes pencils and not pens because, hey, they can erase anything.
To the point, Drum Circle Dave, to the point. On to the point.
And, well, I need them. I forwarded that email to, just all governments.
Well, we don't know what email you're talking about. Listeners are confounded, confused, and baffled.
I'm completely confounded and confused.
even Diane's studio co-host doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about.
There we go.
So can you please?
It's all the people that are freezing up in Alberta, Canada.
Are you saying probably people have been evicted from their house?
Well, maybe they should get the fuck out of there, man. I'd go live in, like,
Ventura
or something.
I think he's referring to some kind of abusive treatment of people. Yeah,
what's the deal? That's
there.
The thing.
But in any case,
what
are they doing? I think rather than, you know, I'll try to find the email. I think I may have sent it
all
out,
right,
actually. But don't remember the details. Anything else, Drum Circle Dave?
What else?
Government that, you know, starts killing people on the street, you know, by letting them freeze to death.
Well,
that's no government at all.
Well,
it's
now, come on now. Freezing people
Germany.
Is a way of preserving them for a better time. In
the
future.
Same government that'll drop a daisy cutter bomb on a village in Afghanistan and kill 150 innocent people.
Again,
the same government.
These,
I mean,
these attacks
these
on our government, they miss the point. Obama's doing the best
about
he can.
Fucking life
he's
or government.
Inherited this war. Don't you understand? He has to make America safe from the Taliban and their incredible. I don't even want
you know,
to.
You know, I saw
this.
One yesterday. Yeah. I swear he was coming up the mall with a machine gun. I was terrified.
Well,
man.
There you are.
I was like, where the fuck is the army, man?
Well,
you know?
That's the problem. That's
pass
the problem.
Out opium poppies.
All right. That's enough from you, Drum Circle Dave. We're going to leave you in your questionable
down.
Room there. Thank you for calling in.
I mean, hey. And ho,
I might add. Thank you, Dave.
We need a toilet flushing sound effect
well,
for that one.
Phone lines are open, and as I can say.
There we go.
You can call in at 427-3772.
And if you're a merchant or what was the other the hotel owner, you know, Drummer Dave has thrown the gauntlet down. If you have a response to him on why you don't provide at least one room per hotel for charity this Christmas, at the very least, hey, it might be good publicity for your business.
And
so,
here's a little music for you to ponder that by.
Right on.
That was Sarah Marlowe, Time to Sing a New Song, from her album A World to Win. You are tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. My master in the studio, or I should say my slave, is Chris.
Good evening, Santa Cruz.
The evil curb hugger, although I've never actually observed him hugging the curb, though he's often sitting near the curb to the chagrin of certain police officers who don't like him sitting there in front of Borders with his little pile of street
I believe
spirits.
We've educated Officer Inouye on where I can
you
sit and where I cannot sit.
You did get a citation, and
I did get a citation.
For sitting near an
claim?
Intersection.
Claim? What do you mean, claim? I get my, what do you want to see, paperwork?
No, I believe you have a citation, right, but was right. The citation was for being near an intersection, not for selling street spirit, which you told, apparently you've been telling me the officers have told you it's illegal to sell street spirit at night?
No. It's just being treated like the hawking of anything else. I haven't noticed any difference, in other words, like, you know, between when I'm hawking that and when I'm hawking, you know, a sister hawking bracelets or anything like that after dark. No, I've been definitely told to shut down whatever it is I'm doing, period, after dark, if I'm sitting there and flying any kind of signage or
and
anything
there's
like that.
Of course,
so.
Newspapers are exempt from any restrictions
and should,
on permit
as well,
requirements
they should be, yeah.
Or time requirements.
Right, exactly.
Unless you are, of course, shouting at the top of your lungs or beating up passersby.
No, I have not been given those exemptions.
So if
although,
anyone is being subjected to the kind of harassment you are for selling street spirit, please give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's my off-air number and also the number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
There we go.
Yes. Let's go back to the Human Rights Fair and hear some more of these exciting, somewhat not as boring as they might be, interviews.
All right.
We're down here at Front New Leaf.
Apparently that was it for the Human Rights Fair. We now move to New Leaf, the market on Pacific Avenue at Soquel and Pacific.
And it's 7:10 in front of New Leaf Market.
He's the Greyhound.
And folks are hanging out with two men with guitars.
Catching all the latest news, huh?
Trying to, yeah.
Hey, how's it going? Off the record?
We've been off the record.
We're in the back of a pickup truck. We come by late at night. Still big.
Somebody was throwing rocks. Where is this, up Davenport? Or?
All up the coast. All from the county line, from into the road to county line.
So someone's throwing rocks through windows.
Pickup truck. Where people in the back will go by, kids, and throw rocks.
And this is at night or during the day?
At night. Real late at night. Real
and you
late
say
at
that
night.
One individual had an injury, Brian?
He got a broken arm.
Brian got a broken arm.
Front windshield out.
Busted front windshield. When did this happen, more or less?
About a week ago. There was three incidents in three nights.
Yeah. Wow.
And one of them, a lady had kids.
And do we think it was the same truck? Do we know it was the same group of
no,
people?
No, we don't. But it's
we don't
same
know.
Kind of thing. It's a pickup that goes by. Probably the same one.
Well, we don't want them kind in our county. You know what
well,
I mean?
No, that's just sick. That's pure evil. That's pure sick. You know?
It's the thrill of violence and the excitement of scapegoating and that sort of thing. You don't mind if I play this for free
no,
radio?
No, but somebody's going to get hurt. He got a broken arm out of it. You know, plus he had to buy a new windshield. Yeah. You should talk to him. His name's Brian. He lives in a little Toyota Chinook. He got a little bitty dog named Sarah.
Let me, if I have a card, if you see him, I'll get you.
I have your card. I'll give it to him. I didn't think about that. I'll give it to
him. Yeah, and in some cases, these kinds of injuries may not be reportable because those who are being injured have children and are afraid CPS may move on them, even though they're being menaced through no threat of their own.
Exactly.
No fault of their own.
Exactly.
So. Steve. I'm not going to say who, but we do have an anonymous report of a man who is one of the first casualties of the smoking ban. I'm sorry. We have another individual, another second anonymous individual, claims to have the privilege of being the first victim of the smoking ordinance. Would you like to tell us, anonymous one, what happened in this case?
Standing there smoking, they walked up and said, "You're getting a ticket." I said, "Well, aren't we supposed to get a warning first?" He said, "Well, we can't warn everybody." And then today, right, just an hour ago, a man in a business suit smoking a cigarette, they walk right past him, from me to you. And then when they're coming back up the street, four college kids walking this way smoking cigarettes, and they walk right past them. Well, so selective enforcement.
It's because of your white and attractive beard. They were drawn to you.
No, homeless people. Homeless people.
Now,
and then the other day, they told a pretty lady she couldn't smoke on the avenue. They can give them tickets.
Yeah, now, do we know which cops we're talking about?
No, I don't know their names.
Officer Inouye gave us our tickets.
Ticket. But it's a different cop.
He was very annoying.
He was very annoying.
Yes.
Annoying.
Yes. So for those of you who are smoking downtown, let this be a lesson to you.
Officer Inouye, I'm not going to say what ne'er-do-well is giving me this report, but is telling people on the streets, or at least one individual, that you have to carry ID and show it when asked. Now, this, as far as I know, is not the case. And, well, Officer Inouye may be creating new precedent. Maybe he's a legislator in disguise, or possibly he's simply trying to throw his weight around, and I don't know what he's trying to do, but it doesn't sound right. Heard, Ann, from an anonymous source that the new 20-minute limit up at the Three Tree Lot, where Donna Dice had her arm broken by Sergeant... Sergeant Christian Lamasse was the individual who neatly broke the arm of Donna Dice, out of Three Tree parking lot. But according to what I've heard from my source, the Three Tree parking lot, with its new 20-minute limit, presumably to stop ne'er-do-wells from hanging out, we have... some good reports on that from locals, at least one local speed dealer who says that means the customers no longer look so sketchy and he's able to blend in. So there's a positive side to everything. Not everybody was pleased with the parade downtown. An anonymous critic had this to say. What he said was, and he doesn't want to be directly quoted, he felt he had some questions about the huge amount of money that might have been expended with all the police and security and the relative poverty of the quality of the parade participants. Although I must admit, it was nice to see people dancing around and jumping and yowling and so forth, and that was good. But apparently there were three antique cars and a couple of fire engines or something. That was his description of the parade. I did not get to see the parade. I was busy trying to give away flyers to people with "I love the police" bumper stickers, which had a problem, which was a difficult
task. Everything was cool.
And I'm looking here on the sidewalk in front of the now unsittable area where Lincoln dead ends into Pacific at the Planter, and I see fragments of probably one, possibly two tickets, citations, or at least they're yellow and they look tickety. So apparently some people are littering with their tickets, creating even more offenses against the public. Well, there's another anonymous report. Has to do with the building. Is it a 2010 Pacific? I'm not sure of the address. It's a large building that was built, I think it was near North Pacific and River Streets. And this building apparently was zoned to have a commercial business only on the ground floor, but finagling has resulted in that being expanded to the higher floors, and all the low-income housing was supposed to be involved, bought out or set aside. Is it true? Well, you call and tell me.
Mickey will be in the studio later for autographs.
Down here at the drum circle, which isn't yet drumming, it's early, about 20 to 3. Hey, man. On Wednesday, is it the 8th or the 9th, Robert? It's one of those days.
Today is the 9th.
And I'm with Robert Blindbear Facer. Hey, Robert.
Oh, how you doing, Robert?
You have a drum in your hands and a hat on your head.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I have.
But do you have a song in your heart?
I imagine I do. I think everyone has a song in their heart.
Now, you were convicted, I say convicted, of twice sleeping in Santa Cruz city limits, once on the beach and then another time...
Both times on the beach, actually.
So one wasn't enough for you. You had to come back and do it again, didn't you?
Well, yes. I was trying to guard my boat, which was 100 yards offshore, which proved fruitless because the second ticket was the same day that somebody stole it. So I didn't have any problem convincing the police that I was really upset.
Did you ever retrieve your stolen boat?
Yes, I did. I found it later on that day. Someone had towed it to the beach, and they were going to haul it off to the dump.
Well, just trying to get rid of an eyesore off the coast.
Apparently. They tried to tell me that the sea lions paddled it in, but I wasn't able to believe that because the boat was at anchor and there was a loop in the line where somebody had apparently towed it from out beyond the buoy. So I assumed that someone had deliberately towed it to the beach and they were actually trying to confiscate it.
Is all I can say to that. Now, you were then taken to court, and in the court of Commissioner Kim Baskett, you were found guilty, 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 in spite of the good work of attorney Ed Fry, who was still trying to appeal your case, but apparently needs several hundred bucks for a transcript, which isn't likely to materialize.
And a quick flash on that issue. Paul Lee, a philanthropist, author, Citizens Committee for the Homeless member, and savage critic of mine, I might add, has in fact put up the money for the transcript so attorney Ed Fry can appeal the sleeping band case of Robert Facer, Blind Bear Facer. And I'm reluctantly turning up the microphone over the ever loquacious
You've shown a weak spot, and I have to exploit this.
Here
now, what does this fellow have against you that he would be so harshly critical? What is his criticism?
Mean, Paul Lee?
Yeah.
Paul Lee is a guy who helped form the Citizens Committee for the Homeless with Paul Brindell and Paul Fortenhauer and Fred Gray and Paige Smith, kind of some of whom are now dead, way back in the 80s when Jane Immler was doing hunger strikes to set up cold and rainy night shelters and hoping to end the sleeping ban. And this was actually 1985.
You failed to answer the question.
I'm giving you the background.
Oh, okay. That's what they all say.
And, yeah, well, you have to begin at the beginning and then proceed forward.
Okay.
Yes. Lee wrote a book called The Quality of Mercy, which can be found in Santa Cruz bookstores. It's a treatment of homeless struggles in the early mid late 80s, in which I get specific attention as a ne'er-do-well from his perspective. He feels that I came to town and began to sabotage the efforts of well-intentioned, somewhat more conservative homeless activists who were
doing absolutely nothing, actually, at the time, as I recall,
well,
since I was actually living
then. They were attempting to get grants from the city, the state, the county.
We don't want their stinking money.
To set up shelters and to provide for vouchers and also to set up some services like mailboxes. And
how did that work out?
Well, we do, 20 years later, have a homeless service center which does provide some lockers, does provide a mail service. You can get an address there. You can get two meals a day there.
For 50 cents each, you got to make sure to add
it's now 50 cents again.
Yeah. Oh, it's price back in place again. Yeah.
Now, have they closed the bathrooms at night or are they still open?
I don't know how that's. I think they're still doing the rainy day emergency thing. To be fair,
good for them.
I am a critic of that particular program. I've got a number of problems with that. So, well, I mean, money flowing to that doesn't necessarily give you kudos in my notebook because I think that's money that could be.
Well,
perhaps
let's get back to Paul Lee, though, because
that was the question you were asking. Yeah.
But Paul Lee is still around. Rumor has it he wanted to do some kind of sleep out against the sleeping ban, which I'm all in favor of. This is the word I got.
How many homeless people does this guy hang out with, though?
Paul, I don't know that he hangs out.
You're a critic, since most of your friends are homeless people. I'm just curious how many homeless people actually hang with this guy.
I think he does a Monday night thing with... what the hell is the name of it? It's a little discussion group that happens at the Red Church near where homeless folks, younger homeless folks, have a meal every Monday. It used to be something that Ron A. Was a part of, but she thought it became too conservative, and also they were running off people the rest of the week. And conservative people like former Mayor Cynthia Matthews, who had property across the street, and other burgers reportedly were driving away people. And also putting pressure on the church authorities. So anyway, Lee has this group. I think, it's been going for 25 years. It's sort of a philosophical discussion group that he holds there. How many homeless people does he know? Well, I mean,
I'm not trying to joke around, but I'm bringing up a point. Yeah. If this fellow, has a beef against you in the activist community, the thing I have to judge by is, as a journalist digging into this, and I know you, and I know that, 90% of everybody you hang with is, and in your personal life as well. I see you a lot out on the streets, and we've hung together out there. And, I don't know. I mean, I don't know this guy, and I'm the homeless. I'm the one he's trying to help, and I don't know him. He's never introduced himself to me. He's never helped me or assisted me in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know. You got to go by what's real and what's not. And the criticisms that you just mentioned are old hat. And we've heard all of those, including your name, that you know, your pen name and all that sort of thing. All of that bullshit has been drug out of the closet and over the coals. I just was wondering if there was anything new in it. Because to me, to be honest with you, you know, that's a recycling of something that I have long suspected was planted in the information stream by our enemies to begin with. I think when they were attempting to smear your character and literally character assassinate you back in the 80s, which we both know they tried to do, and in fact, you know, spent quite an elaborate amount of effort, and were very successful. There were many people in the homeless community, homeless people themselves, who did not trust you, and still don't because of those evil rumors, you know what I mean, and innuendos and outright lies, you know what I mean. So
I'm a much maligned individual.
It's true. But the thing is, this supposed homeless activist recycling that, you know, whether it came from him or whether it came from the government, he certainly isn't he's helping our enemies, not, you know, helping the cause. I don't think we should turn on each other, in other words.
Right.
I think that's counterproductive. Nor do I want to
turn on him if he's doing some things that are good. But he definitely has a very negative view of me. And again, he's written about it in his book, The Quality of Mercy, which has been widely publicized in Santa Cruz. Although I have to say that activists have defended me against his charges, as you have. And he and I, you know, we have a...
I just know where they came from. He waves at me. The fact that they were all published in the Sentinel, stuff like that, it tells you where that shit's coming from. And, I mean, you had an X on your back right from the very beginning, from the minute you became involved in Santa Cruz politics. And that's the plight of every activist. I mean,
come and get me, coppers.
You know what I mean? Now they have a new policy. Now they have a new way of dealing with it, and they realize that creating martyrs is counterproductive. So, you know, they walk softly and carry a big stick. But, I mean, back in the 80s, they tried a different approach, and it got them what it got them. It did. I have to say that it was successful only in the sense that it did breed a huge amount of mistrust in the homeless community. At that time, there was a huge schism, you know, a lot of it regarding specifically you and actions that surrounded around that group of people.
They didn't like the fact that we were doing street activism, and they preferred to support people like Karen Gillette of the Homeless Community Resource Center, who, you know, was doing essentially taken over Jane Immler's position as a meal provider when Jane Immler demanded that the city provide its certified kitchen, and they refused. And Jane Immler took her meals to the streets, and we took over kitchens all over town and different places.
Absolutely.
And we got
the Great Soup Wars.
We got them to kick down the certified kitchen, but of course they kicked out Jane Immler, and they handed everything over to her former assistant, Karen Gillette, or Queen of the Cupcakes, Karen, QC Karen, as he used to call her. And that's not entirely to dismiss her work. She worked hard as a homeless service center, and it was called Homeless Community Resource Center in those days, as a worker, as a person who tried to provide services for homeless people. There's always a tension between bureaucrats and activists. Bureaucrats essentially profit from, and to some extent allow homeless people to profit from, the work activists have done, and the activists don't really get credit for it, except maybe decades later.
And also, it's easy for people to complain about the technique that some of us, especially in our mine and your sort of band of the spectrum anyway, it tends towards more militant actions, you know, more in-your-face actions, I think. You know, I think we resemble, or at least I feel like our movement has always sort of resembled more something closer to ACT UP, you know what I mean? Which is, you know...
Well, if we're lucky, you know.
Yeah, if we're lucky, and at times.
ACT UP, for those who don't know, is an activist gay group, you know, that was fighting to expand AIDS research and treatment, and did so with very dramatic sit-ins and theatrical protests up in San Francisco.
Well, I think it's funny because even at the Human Rights Fair, just that little thing we did where we went and sat in the chairs with the big placards to sort of semi-disrupt Mayor Rockin's speech, wasn't much of a disruption.
We have to say we didn't disrupt at all. He gave a speech, and I, to my shame, held my tongue as he went through this 7-minute blather. He talked two minutes over about all the wonderful human rights that are happening. When in fact, for the ACLU,
my point was that I was immediately approached afterwards by somebody who criticized it. and felt that it was too aggressive.
People don't know what you're talking about. We sat down next to Rotkin after he'd finished his speech with two big signs about ending the sleeping ban, and he kind of sat there, smiled throughout that, and then eventually get a little uncomfortable, or perhaps he had something else to do,
right.
He walked away.
I think we did have a few words for him as he left the stage.
Human rights.
I believe we did have a few loud words for him as he left the stage too. We may not have disrupted his speech because he kind of caught us by surprise. But when I came in at the end, I certainly spoke up.
I'm often accused of disrupting, and in fact, it might be better if
I spoke up. You know,
if
I
were more disruptive. Well, to speak up is not necessarily to be disruptive. It's disruptive. Well,
disruptive is sometimes
disruptive
cool
is,
too. I mean, that was the point of the argument.
Disruptive is if you actually stop the person from actually speaking. To comment from the audience to your reaction, whether it's at the city council, frankly, or even in a courtroom, unless you're interrupting the process in a way that actually stops it from going
forward. Well, my point was just even there in the midst of a
disruption. Disruption is when you're actually stopping the process. So free speech is not disruption.
I mean, even there in the midst of a human rights fair where these tables are all set up and these horrible plights of all these horribly oppressed people from all over the world is being discussed, even there, you know what I mean? It was, you know, there was a definite dichotomy. There was a definite tension felt there about what we did.
Not enough tension, but some. Yeah.
But, no, I mean, people were not happy about it. And I was approached immediately at the table by a person who was, you know, definitely unhappy about all of that.
About your sign next to Rotkin.
And the words, you know, the words afterwards, the angry words after his speech. And that is such a small thing. My point is that was such a small, you know, action, if you want to call it, or whatever, and it still raised hackles of people who are otherwise in the movement,
in the movement, or whatever.
Yeah, and so there's always been that, as you say, that tension between those who want to do a little bit more, you know, get kind of edgy with it and push the envelope, and those who feel that a more staid political approach. But folks, we've been fighting this battle here in Santa Cruz for 15 fucking years. How long do we sit around and go, let's go vote, let's go to city council meetings, let's wave some signs in their face? You know, not one friggin' thing has changed other than the fact that we now have the right to feed each other in the streets, which is huge, and I'm grateful for it, but I mean, there are other victories to be won.
Waving signs, we did that by doing it anyway. They got tired of arresting us. We fucked with them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we didn't fuck with them. We just attempted to do what we had the right to do, and they got tired of fucking with us. I think is really
well. That could be too. Either way you look at it. I mean,
let us hear some more of the actual voices of presumably some homeless people. Who knows?
I don't know.
This is Robert Blindbear Facer at the Drum Circle.
We're trying to overturn the camping ordinance because we believe that a law which prohibits erecting the Temple of Moses is against religion.
Now, wait a minute. The Temple of Moses, you mean slumbering being the Temple of Moses?
The Temple of Moses is a tent, and it is against the law to erect a tent in the city limits of Santa Cruz.
Well, I don't even think you were found guilty of erecting a tent. You were found guilty of nodding off after 11 o'clock at night, no?
I think I was found guilty of sleeping in between the hours of 8:30 at night and 11 o'clock.
11 and 8:30.
Something like that.
Yeah, 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. is my understanding of the sleeping ordinance. So have you been sleeping since, or have you been dutifully staying awake in order to stay legal?
Well, I've basically been...
this poor sleep-deprived guy can't even answer a simple question.
To turn around and say that I haven't slept since then would be a lie. I have actually slept. I've tried not to sleep during the night between the hours of 11:30 and 8:30.
11 and 8:30. Let's get our times right, shall we?
I've got it. Yes, 11:30 and 8:30. Right. I have tried several times staying awake all night, but honest to God, you know, I may have dozed off.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You've got to keep closer check on yourself. Maybe you could hire someone to watch you, and if you fall asleep, kick you awake. No, wait. The police are supposed to do that, aren't they?
Well, I don't know.
They'll nudge you awake, you awake, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, they're usually, you know, they'll shake you on the shoulder or something, you know, if you're really, really snoring. But
trying to help out in their own way, help you out, so to speak, help you way out.
Well, they're trying to keep us from having a birth here in Santa Cruz. There's certain things that a man must do that one does not want to be made public. And you know, they've simply attempted to do away with this activity, which is probably why it's fairly dry this season. When it's normally fairly rainy, you know, it's drying out a bit.
Now, what does the cut, you know, that have to do with the weather?
Well, it's just there's certain things that happen that coincide with rain. Now, rain is something that falls from the sky, but there's some correlation between men sleeping in the woods and it raining. I don't know how you would say that there's a correlation between that, but my experience over the years has shown me
the more you sleep, the wetter it gets.
The less heat you have on you, you know, when you're trying to get a place to sleep, the more, you know, the more places there are to do that, the rainier it generally is.
So the less police, the more rain?
No, the easier it is to find a place to sleep at night. You know, in order
the less police, the easier it is to find a place to sleep at night.
The easier it is to find a place that's warm and dry, the more rain you're going to get.
We'll have to ponder that one, folks.
Well, there is no place warm and dry in Santa Cruz. They have eliminated, they've wiped out all the brush. There's no cover.
And this causes a drought?
I do believe it might.
Well, let me ask you this, Robert. This is an issue that came up at the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, meeting today, which usually happens every week at the Sub Rosa at 10:30 in the morning every Wednesday.
Though that may not be the case in the Wednesdays to come. The last three Wednesdays, it's been closed, and HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, has been meeting at the Bagelry on Cedar Street between Laurel and Maple.
But Sub Rosa, for the unfathomable reasons, has been closed the last two Wednesday mornings, so we've snuck over to the Bagelry instead, near which is about half a block between Cedar, Laurel and Maple on Cedar, for those who want to come to our Wednesday meetings. But one thing that we did find was we're talking with Fred Geiger, who doesn't know all the facts, but actually has some hints as to where to go to check out the city's latest shenanigans. Fred, go ahead.
Facts? Who needs facts?
Where we're going, we don't need facts.
They don't need facts.
And this actually is now, we are segueing into an interview with an activist, Fred Geiger, who was more active in the past when there was a so-called progressive majority. Well, they always claim to have a progressive majority in city council, but I believe he was actually part of the brain trust of some of the earlier mayors. He's active in union struggles, and he's sympathetic with homeless civil rights activity. I ran into him in Trader Joe's, and this is the brief conversation we had. Mike Rotkin was coming on the air, and I wanted to get some questions, so I asked Fred.
They know what's best for us. But no, I'm not sure about the actual details because it's been a while. It slipped my mind. But I know the city has changed their affordable housing contribution formula and put more money into assisting local business, because we all know when you give the rich money, it all trickles down on the rest of us.
Tinkle down.
After it goes through their kidneys, that is, allegedly, according to the Reaganites. So the city of Santa Cruz has apparently joined the trickle-down theorists, despite of being socialists and communists. Somehow they managed to
come. Feminist mayor, Mike Rotkin, you know.
Well, yeah, and it's great when you can be a socialist, feminist, and a neocon at the same time. Maybe you should ask him how it's done.
Well, I think Führer Obama has shown us how to do that.
I think he's starting to realize he needs to stimulate the bottom as well as the top. He turned it all over.
Certainly
to...
Certainly stimulating a few bottoms by dropping those bombs in Afghanistan.
That'll rock them right off their buns, won't it?
Oh, well, you know how it is. But, you know, you've got to get them Talibanis. You know, they're not good.
Ban the Talis. That's what I always say. Yeah, ban the Talis.
The AFPAC front. Are you going over there to advise them, Fred?
Advise them not to go. Yes, that's right.
Oh, I see. A traitor, in other words.
No need to go.
Oh, that's so 60s.
No need to go. Yeah, yeah. I was a draft evader. Ah. Proud to admit it.
Now we have some of the confessions you catch in Trader Joe's, which is where we're standing right now. Anything we should be looking for in the next couple of weeks that interested citizens might not otherwise hear about?
Well, of course, the D-cell is always a big, hot issue here. We're going to spend tens of billions in and, you know, probably increase our carbon footprint by 70% as a city to get water that we don't even need. We need to cut back 30% in every 59 years to meet the drought threat, and apparently we've been sold on the idea that we're going to need to do all this desal business. There's other options such as recycled water, too, that would be much cheaper, but the city bureaucracy's obviously been sold on it.
Don't you appreciate the fact that Camp Dresser and McKee, the famous Middle East profiteer, is doing consultant work for that particular project?
Well, Robert, I'm not one to judge how campy someone dresses. That's an individual selection that I support. But as far as the city giving him any money, I'd say let them buy their own clothes.
Well, Camp Dresser and McKee, thanks. Thank you. We've been talking with...
Take care, Robert. Fred Geiger.
Thank you, Fred.
Good seeing you.
And just in case anyone was wondering, it is December 11th, mid-afternoon, about 2:15 in Trader Joe's, and it's rainy weather outside on a wet Friday. It's Saturday, the 12th of December. I'm out here with, what's your name, fisherman?
Michael O'Brien.
Michael, you're doing some fishing here with a sign, I love leftovers. Fishing for change in front of 1200 Pacific Avenue, which is the edge of the Borders area. And leftovers are arriving. All right.
Thank you.
So, Michael, how's fishing?
So far, so good. I mean, I think I made like $2.35 after 3 hours.
So you've been out here. Has it been raining continuously or intermittently?
Pretty much continuously. A little bit of hard, and then a slight little drizzle, and then it'll pick up again, you know, like
where
that.
Are you sleeping?
Right now at the Armory.
How is the Armory?
Well, it's all right. They search you. They thoroughly search you at the Armory.
Body cavity search?
Not that far. If I'd be running after they say that one.
A little proctological examination.
Yeah, there you go. you go in at 5 and you leave at 5. So it's 5 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m.
Is it full? How many people are there?
About 80 to 100.
And is there, I heard some complaints that it's easier to get sick at the Armory because so many people are in the same room?
The main concern about the Armory is the blankets. They only get washed once a week, and unfortunately there's people there with body lice and head lice, and I had a nice little dose of that. And
don't hug me.
No, definitely not. Well, anyways, I got rid of the itchy scratchies to a nice thing of bleach, and it wasn't pleasant, to say the least. So that's the only thing I have a complaint about with the Armory. They should do the blankets a lot more, you know, than once a week, because you don't know who has what, and it's a lot. It's unsanitary, too. I mean, people have the flu or whatnot. You lay down with those blankets, you're going to get sick.
Or, do they require picture ID?
Yes, they require picture ID, but in some cases, they just...
Hang on. Go ahead.
Well, in some cases, they just take down the social number, and they make you a shelter ID, you know, with your name and your social.
So do you have a picture ID that you show them, or...?
Yeah, a regular ID from Oklahoma. They'll take people from different states or, you know, right now it doesn't have to be a California ID to stay at the Armory.
How long have you been in town?
Right now, about 5 years on the street. I'm camped out in the woods right now.
Texas, stand up. Get rid of the mayor, please. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm camped out in the woods right now, but it's illegal to camp. They find your stuff, they basically trash it, or...
they being?
Either the city or the park ranger, depending. They'll either slice your tent up or, you know, cart it away. Sometimes they do give you a warning, but sometimes it depends, you know.
Has your stuff actually been taken by rangers or police?
Not yet.
How do you know that actually happened?
I've seen it done on the freeway, off the freeway, any city property. Basically, they hired extra police to mess with us guys, unfortunately.
When's the last time you saw this happen?
About a month ago, right across from the shelter, that freeway there. I don't know what exactly it's called, but there was about 40, 50 guys they displaced.
You're getting some competition from the fire department. Apparently, there's a fire department slash police slash Santa loves you, but we don't have no fucking shelter for you. Parade-ish sort of thing happening in the rain. I'm not sure what the hell they're doing, but
I hope not.
Anyway, fish on, fisherman.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Well, the rain has cleared. It's about 3:30 down here in the parking lot number 4, where it's illegal to stand and chat, and I'm violating the law by chatting with
Valerie.
And Valerie, you were telling me a couple hours ago, as we made our way through light rain, which became heavier, that the entire area of Pacific Avenue used to be covered with, at least on one side or perhaps on one block, awnings, so you could walk from one end of Pacific Avenue, or at least from one block to the next, without getting wet?
Both sides had awnings sticking out. You could pretty much walk all the way up and down the mall without getting very wet. Just, you know, crossing the street was probably the biggest deal in the rain.
This is before the earthquake?
Yeah. When I was on the street and I was working right not far off the downtown area, I hung out down there a lot. And, it was great. It was easy to travel in the rain, easy to walk up and down the street.
And nowadays, of course, the awnings are few and far between.
Yeah, definitely. Amazing to see how few there are. I just remember just about every single spot I could just go in shelter all the way down the road, the path or the street, whatever it is. Yeah.
That changed in 1989 or soon thereafter.
I have no idea. You know, I hadn't really noticed it, but when I walk in the rain, I notice it now because I remember how it used to be. You used to be able to sit on all the little planters that are gone now, too.
The red brick planters.
Yeah. I used to sit on them every day for hours. Never even saw a cop even look at me, much less hassle me back then.
Well, now you've learned better that to sit on a bench for more than an hour is an infraction.
It is now.
If you can find a bench.
Yeah, if you can find a bench, exactly.
We've been talking with?
Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie. Therapy, my man. Shock therapy.
Indeed.
Any other thoughts?
I have to pee a little.
Well, I'll let you do that.
These are, of course, some magic moments, which we don't really want to give you more details on, but this is sort of a quick look into the interviewer and the interviewee.
On your own time. Do you have any comments? She shakes her head. Thank you both. We've been talking with
Jay Bear.
Thank you, Jay Bear. And we have a host coming upon a display of paintings on the sidewalk. She is talking to the guy in a chair in front of O'Neill's. Hey.
Oh, yeah. I'm done with it.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Could be better. How are you doing? So what did the officer and the host tell you here with this painting display?
Oh, well, they liked my paintings.
Good.
And there was all kinds of rules and regulations.
What rules did they claim that you were should be particularly aware of?
Oh, well, rules based in reality.
Yeah, what rules were those?
There's like physical dimensions of space I'm allowed to have.
Did they say you were violating the rules?
Yes, but they said that was okay.
Well, that's nice. Was there any other concern other than the fact that perhaps you were taking up more than 6x6x3 or whatever the heck dimensions are?
I think the concern was the general, level of peace that my paintings promote.
Well, they're very nice paintings, no question. We got... well, how would you describe your paintings? Do they have names? How would you... looks like a mermaid. We got a unicorn.
Yeah, all very colorful.
And are they for sale or for donation or just
for sale, even though that's not allowed, which is strange.
Did they claim to you that it wasn't allowed? Did somebody tell you?
They told me I'm not allowed to put price tags on them.
Who told you that?
The Santa Cruz people. I don't know, whatever.
The host or the police? Which?
The hosts, not the police.
Because
that's
sort of...
bothered me.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually
true.
I'm cheap.
Really?
Yeah. How much is an average painting?
It costs like $5 or $10, so I haven't sold anything. But what else?
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been painting since I was 16, but I've been painting... Oh, right, sorry. I'm used to art questions. I've 2 days.
And how many hours have you been out here today?
A few. Like 4.
Is this the first time you've been accosted by the host and Officer Wilson?
But I got a parking ticket because I parked over 3 hours. But I forgot to change the thing.
You're a bad boy.
Oh, I'm the best boy there is, I swear.
But this is the first time you were accosted for your painting display?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it accosted, though. I don't
gently,
feel right.
Gently told that you are not allowed to put prices on your paintings?
Yes.
Oh, which is not true, by the way. I believe you are allowed under a recent settlement with the city attorney, but I'm surprised they're telling you that.
I don't mind. I think there's a certain level of, like, bending over to the man that needs to be done. Because
the less the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Ultimately, the man could be an extension of power, and
he or she, in this case, mostly he is an extension of power.
But in the face of power, you should be humble.
Well, I think you should be yourself. I mean, whether it's, you know, I mean, an overweening power which loves to get you to be humble is not something that you should submit to.
I was going to ask this.
We have a woman. A woman is asking questions about the price of a painting. I see some dickering going on here about the price of a painting. Again, a lot of these are seascapes. There's a lighthouse. There's some waves. Could be a sunset on the far right there. And the paintings range in size from 3 by 4 by 2 feet to 2 by 2 to 1 by 1.5. And it's the second round of hosts coming up. Again, the paintings are displayed on the sidewalk on a couple of towels next to the directory sign. But this is an exempt zone. Other directory signs have a 10-foot forbidden zone around them for artists, political tablers, musicians with display devices. But this one is the only exempt zone. Well, there's one other smaller exempt zone in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz of a different sort, perhaps. But the artist has gone to make change, and I think we're going to, well, leave it at that.
And a couple of announcements to make here. First, of course, Chris has his own commentary, which
I'm cut off abruptly. I'm tickled that he made a sale. I mean, I just don't...
I don't know
if I agree with his personal philosophy of how to affect political change.
What bothers me is that these police and hosts are apparently misinforming people about... You know, the decision that came down about a month ago, and of course it hasn't been publicized very widely, but I've talked about it.
Well, just yesterday I complained about that same issue.
You're allowed to put prices on your paintings. You can't put prices on jewelry, strangely enough. You can't put price on anything that has any utilitarian function. Right. But free speech activity, like selling a newspaper, you can put a price on it, and they can't require you to have a permit. They can require you to sit in certain spots or not sit in certain spots. Right. We actually don't know if they can require that, but they have been doing that.
They have been getting away with it.
Getting away with that kind of regulation.
And us that do that sort of activity have been complying. But I think it is an important issue. This is exactly the kind of things I really think that we need to talk about more on the radio. I know there's artists out there that listen to this show, and you need to be aware that, you know, people, we have won some First Amendment victories. I mean, you know, we have the right to sell these newspapers, to sell our art. I love the wording that you used. In fact, you're the one who educated me on it. It is a conversation between the artist and the pedestrian, and therefore protected by the
That was what Robin, the white-haired was he a painter? I think he's a painter. He had he was an artist who apparently got this settlement from the city after finding the recent federal court decision in Nevada. Which presses this point. I do want to point out that Brent Adams, who is was the representative for the Street Performers Guild, which hasn't met since June. Brent, let's get together here. is back in town. He actually reported to me that he'd been harassed by police, well, three times. They had to move three times in the course of an hour playing his big drum. He has a huge sort of garbage can-sized drum.
Seen him out there, yeah.
And he was, when he spoke to me on the phone a couple days ago, and I have to confirm this on Sunday, I come back on Sunday mornings and do a longer show. He claims that on Sunday he will be doing what's called a homeless remake or a homeless makeover.
Yeah, now I sent you an email. I mean, you mentioned showers. How is he going to manage something like that?
According to what he told me on the phone, he plans to drive people to his lodging and give them showers and an opportunity to have clothing. Now, since I haven't seen anything more about this on Indie Bay and I haven't heard anything about it, I wonder if perhaps...
Now, wasn't there supposed to be some sort of formal announcement tonight about
it? Yeah, he was supposed to call in and talk about it on the air, I believe, and he hasn't done that.
Let's go, Brent. I need a shower bad, buddy.
Right,
come on, don't let me down.
He stinks pretty bad, folks.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Actually, he smells fine.
No, that's not true at all.
The
studio is
really
close and Robert's being... Robert's being very generous.
The fact
of the matter is that hygiene is an issue. I mean, you know, you can talk about it, but I've actually gotten a few comments this week that I'm beginning to get overripe.
Well, I'm concerned.
And, you know, the thing is, you know,
Brent has to keep his own livelihood going. He was supposed to be involved with the Street Performers Guild, and that was his role. And, you know, we actually had there's a fund which Tom Noddy and other street performers have put together to help defend in court the rights of street performers, which is not being used. And street performers had one big meeting this summer in June or July at the Sub Rosa Cafe, and then nothing. And it's kind of depressing to me that that's happening, and I keep hoping we can get some action going. And you know, everybody has their own period of when they can actually do the organizing that needs to be done. I mean, you yourself, you know, have to find lodging.
I constantly struggle with that.
You have to go up in the woods and find a place to sleep.
You have to
do other things. So I don't know. Anyway, that might be happening on Sunday is my point. I believe it's supposed to be happening either in front of Borders or in front of New Leaf.
Which is really where all the action is on Sunday.
Right, and Borders.
Lots of good food will be there, too.
Yeah, Renee shows up.
And she's been... I want to also do a shout-out for Renee and to say that they've been... both her and her husband, Scott, have been good about finding sleeping bags. We've been able to supply those virtually every week. So if you are homeless and listening to the show, or if you know somebody who's homeless, come and gather with us on Sundays in front of Borders. It's a nice gathering. We play chess. Distribute food, and if you are in need or know somebody in need, we usually have socks, sleeping bags are often available, some really nice stuff, sometimes even some better stuff than that. Occasionally they're kicked down, you know, backpacks and other things
and
to
also
distribute to the people. So
Huff has an event coming up. We had our Huff meeting yesterday at the Baglery, an exile from the Sub Rosa, which was closed, and we decided to do a sing-out. We're going to be doing a sing-out. This is on the Homeless Memorial Day. There's a Day of the Dead when the names of the homeless people are read, those who died this last year, over at the Homeless Service Center. I think that happens about 10 o'clock in the morning.
What day is that again?
Tuesday the 21st.
December
21st. I believe it's the 21st. Actually, it's Tuesday the 22nd. Monday the 21st was when we thought it was happening, but That happens at the homeless shelter, the Reading of the Dead. Now, we're not going to be there for that, or some of us may be there for that. But later in the day, I think it's around 1:30, in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, or Bookshop Coonerty, as some of us know it, there's going to be a sing-along. And we're going to reprise some of the songs that Sergeant Harms likes so much. Sergeant Harms is fun.
Well, I'll be there.
Coming to town and other in downtown. We have a few lyrics to the song downtown.
Me.
You know,
I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, it's
be fun. I'll be there.
You know, it's good. We you know, and you can come and sing along with us. That's going to be 1:30. Although there is rain predicted for Tuesday, and that may, dampen our spirits, possibly, but you know,
I won't deny they're calling for it, but I've looked at the forecast pretty carefully. I don't think it's going to be.
So we'll see. 1:30 on Tuesday. I'll be re-announcing this on Sunday for those of you who listen to the show regularly or irregularly, and maybe you'll hear.
Or if you're
then.
Irregular, I got some of these neat pills they gave me the other day. These fiber things.
Very sweet of you, but I think.
Oh
I can,
man, it'd have
I
you can, regular in so fast.
Believe in being regular, actually. However, there was a couple of items that showed up on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which probably don't even need to be mentioned since people are going to go there themselves. There is a Santa Cruz Gorilla Drive-In tomorrow night. It is going to be
going to be
playing the famous Minority Report movie based on the Philip K. Dick short story.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that's going to be at your favorite cafe, the Sub Rosa.
In or outside?
It says at the Sub Rosa, across from the Saturn Cafe indoors unless somehow the weather is nice.
Well, how is that
outside.
Guerrilla theater, though, man? We're not in danger of getting busted if we do it inside Sub Rosa.
Well, you can take that up with the Sub Rosaites. This is what it reads. Recently, there have been some high-profile incidents of violence in Santa Cruz. Concerned citizens have rallied around the cause of Take Back Santa Cruz, calling for increased surveillance of public places and tougher policing to, quote, rid the town of undesirables. Unfortunately, in the mainstream dialogue about violence, systematic violence of the state and capital domestically and abroad is usually neglected. This Steve Spielberg thriller, based on the short story by Philip K. Dick, Minority Report, reminds us of the dangers of inviting an all-seeing government to monitor every action of our lives and of the risks of arresting people for a crime they have yet to commit. The screening will include a post-film discussion of local issues and possible approaches. And that's going to be at the Guerrilla Drive-In. I guess it's going to be the Guerrilla Walk-In in this case.
Yes.
Or the Guerrilla Sit in the Sub Rosa
right.
Inn.
Well, I'm all up for that, but then, I
There's
still
not
have
much
my
room in the Sub Rosa for much of a crowd. I don't know how they're going to be able to do this. And it has to be said that half the time, or maybe more than half the time, the Guerrilla Drive-In does do guerrilla activity. For example,
they do. I'm just giving
them
a hard time. So let's be clear about that.
Right.
I'm just busting their chops and having
However,
fun.
However,
I think it's a great movie, actually.
I know that you have also had some concerns about the Sub Rosa Cafe. You and I and, Yellow B. Brown, who's been banned from the Sub Rosa.
I think it can be worked out, but I just, I think culture is a different thing than politics, And in culture, I'm big on the power of words and names. And, anarchy is a big word that gets bandied about, especially by the young kids a lot. But I very rarely discussed as to what it actually entails and what it actually is.
Well, I know that when we talked about this on the street today was quite a hefty day on the street. There was a fight in front of Borders, which I did some tape on, but I'm not going to be able to get to it on the show. But sometime before that, Yellow B. Brown, who's a local activist, and we've played some of his concerns about Sub Rosa and before, actually, Sub Rosa specifically, the cafe that's a block from the Saturn Cafe that's got a lot of anarchist literature and provides coffee that's very cheap and free commuter access. Nice place in many respects. But in other respects, is considered repressive by other people because of some say over controlling management and a failure to I recognize that there can be a brusque, there are all kinds of different people come in there, and it can be a challenge for people who are staffing.
Sure.
The cafe.
I think the keystone to anarchy. For me, it starts with tolerance. It starts with the ability to say, I don't want to be a cop. I don't want to be telling people what to do until they somehow violate me, into my personal space or limiting my speech and in some way. And I think that's where it starts. I think it's the key to what's wrong with all of this. It's the key, Robert, to what we do. It's the key to what we're fighting for. It's the key to all of it. And I'm not saying anarchy in so much as tolerance. But anarchy definitely begins with tolerance because it's about everybody being themselves and not being humble, but like you said, but being themselves, and sometimes people are themselves and they're not terribly well loved. I mean, what if you're mentally ill and you spend all your time muttering to yourself? You're not going to be allowed in the anarchist cafe. I mean, what the hell, man? What the hell
people,
is that shit?
I don't know that people have been thrown out for that.
I'm just saying, where does it stop, though? My point was, it's a slippery slope.
The issue with Yellow B. Brown, and I haven't. I've emailed Wes Modes, who's involved with the Sub Rosa Cafe. He helped to form it along with others. He also helped form the Free School, the Guerrilla Drive-In, the Trash Orchestra. There's been a number of projects that I'm quite impressed with and
well,
support.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
right,
it. I think we need some tweaking and we need to have an open discussion about this because Mike's a friend of mine.
By that you mean Yellow B. Brown.
Yellow B., sorry.
This is an African-American guy with a big black top hat. You may recognize him if you're downtown.
Yeah, and he's suffering
from
something that I call in the streets, and I've seen this before, big black guy syndrome. And big black guy syndrome basically is if you're a really large, opinionated black man and you move onto the streets, you will become an instant target. And I swear it's almost like fucking magic. It really is. I've seen it time and time again that these large black men who are no different than tiny little white guys like me, you know, to just, you know, he's, Mike is a great guy. He's an act, like you said, an activist. He's, you know, got a lot of energy. He's incredibly brilliant. You know, he's got a lot to offer. He's got some things to learn too, and that's fine. You know what I mean? We all do. He's younger, and but he's coming up, and I think he's gonna, you know, make a positive change in the world. And you know, but the thing is, he's large, and he's black, and this creates this weird syndrome when they live on the streets. They become a target of every kind of violence. There'll be a handful of people that will struggle so hard to make him his friend and kiss his ass because they think that he might have their back someday. And then the other 90% of the people will be so threatened by him that they will just attack him sight unseen. And I've seen this before, and I've seen it now with my, and it infuriates me. I'm going to put a stop to it. There's nothing wrong with the kid. I don't care what anybody says. He's got a little bit of a bad temper, and he's working on it. But he's never done anything out of line. He's never touched anybody. He's never stolen anything. He's got honor and honesty. And
well,
they need to leave him the hell alone.
You did see a fight today between him and Max.
Well, that was mutually agreed combat. He was challenged in a peaceful way. He was challenged in a civil way, and he accepted the challenge. That has nothing to do
And it has to be said that when the police came later, although they initially put Max in handcuffs and did some interrogating of both people, I believe they let them both go without any charges.
Yes, which was fair in the sense that whatever was done to the other should have been done to the other. It was, you know,
we're going to have these black people fighting downtown in our town. We have a white town, son. We have a white town. We don't want their kind fighting in Santa Cruz.
I wish you could be there with a video camera, though, and watch what that poor kid puts up with. I mean, he'll try to busk. And he won't make it two songs before some skate kid or another, some random person will walk up and just maliciously, verbally, and often physically attack him. And you know that he is, come on, Robert, you've been around enough years to know that he was an instant target with the police around here. Come on. Big black man syndrome extends even double when it comes to the police. I mean, so, you know, I mean, the kid has had a hard time here, and he's determined to stay in this community, to make change in this community, and make a difference. And I'm putting everybody on notice. This guy's under my protection.
You had to actually drag him away from this conflict.
Well,
today.
That's all right. That's all right. You know what I mean?
Well,
I
don't know. I thought he was being very provocative to Max, the other guy. Because Yellow has a very
this isn't really something
that we can, you know, I know what I saw on the street,
right.
And I know who seemed to be provoking who, and it seemed like Yellow was much more aggressive toward Max than the other one,
but it was Max who came back and challenged him to a fight, though,
right? Because he felt wounded, overwhelmed, and abused and humiliated, because Yellow is a very articulate, an intelligent speaker who can, like Mike Rott, can insult you five ways from Sunday and then walk away with a grin on his face. And sometimes people who aren't as quick with their tongues feel they have to vindicate themselves. And I don't know that's the best way to go. It's not my approach, because I'm fast with my tongue.
He's a candidate for
sainthood. I'm not really trying to do a personality contest, but I know that Yellow is a
my simple point.
Yellow
is
a subject of some controversy, both at Sub Rosa. He's been evicted from the Armory, and there are other people.
I'm here
on the
to vouch for the fact that he's subject to more than that. He's subject to serious oppression,
racial violence, and
both verbal and physical. And I've seen it with my own eyes. It's day in and day out. It's constant. The kid is a hero for not going crazy and just shooting everybody. Really, he is. I'm saying that, Rob. I'm telling you that. I'm getting angry about this because you know me long enough. Everybody that's an icon in this town knows that my judgment of character is good and it's solid.
Well, I've heard others whose judgment of him is exactly the opposite. Who I also have some respect.
Okay, well,
for. So,
then I disagree. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. But let's wait until we can actually, you know, do a
physical attack.
A proctological
analysis
of this whole
thing. Physical attacks are going to stop, though, or there's going to be a price to pay because I'm tired of it.
We have to be very specific about when these things have happened, and maybe you can document them and talk about when they happened.
Usually,
and then
when he's busking and when you've heard his rap, you've heard his music. It's as radical as
I have never
as his,
seen Yellow physically attacked, but I've not been out there.
But I'm saying you know the style of his music. Just think to yourself, you know, it's very provocative
stuff. He is very provocative, but he also doesn't mind getting into the personal space of other people, and that can be. That can feel threatening to other people. So that's fine. And I know, in fact, that I felt I had some second thoughts about when you and I pulled those two apart or encouraged them to separate, which apparently wasn't successful, really, because they came back and he had another fight anyway.
This happened today downtown
in front of Borders, these two guys. I felt a little, I thought about it after, I felt a little self-conscious. Who am I
to tell people not, you know, not to have loud arguments downtown because it might disturb, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you misunderstood then my concern. My concern was for Mike because they will come and take him to jail. My concern was for to get him to sit on the bench and shut up or take it somewhere where the cops can't see it and the people can't see it because they will drop a dime on him and they're just waiting. They're waiting with bated breath for a reason to haul his sorry ass off the avenue.
What you were saying, you were talking about their children present and so forth.
Well, that was my argument to Mike to get him to sit down because whenever I use it, it works. I mean, and that shows me the guys got hot because anytime I've ever told him to calm down because there were family people, kids around, it works. I mean, that shows that the guys got some hot, some common sense.
We were able to calm them down for a bit. Yeah. Although apparently it was ultimately not that. Although in a way, you know, I wanted to commend Sergeant Harms, Officer Forbes.
They showed restraint this time.
There were a couple
this
of
time,
other officers you know. Who came. They did, you know, I guess.
Max did have a taser trained on him.
Initially there was
for
a taser
while,
trained on, I guess you would say Officer.
Officer Warren came
Officer
out of
Warren
the car,
came out
with,
of the car
with
a taser.
With the taser in hand.
Now,
yeah.
And was there some weapon that Max had?
No, but Max was going fucking ballistic. I mean, he was just jumping
well, you know,
up and down.
We can talk about
man.
This, but it's sort of. Not something that the public can understand because I wasn't there with the tape recorder. You didn't have your video camera with you.
Well, no, but it did give me a chance, and I've been wanting in my program notes to bring up for a while here on the radio this problem with Mike because the big black man syndrome is not to be underestimated.
Well,
it's so sly and so subtle, and I know you say you haven't seen it, but like I said, you know, I'm there 12
oh,
hours a day
people.
Sitting on the bricks. You know what I mean?
I think
so
that
I see it all.
I think there's racism in Santa Cruz for sure, and I think it's been exercised against people like Jason Pascal and others. But the issue, you know, the issue that may be coming up has to do with Sub Rosa, which is an interesting issue. We only have about 6 minutes left in the show, so now is not the time to discuss it at length. But I understand you and Yellow are planning. You were trying to get Sub Rosa to engage in some kind of discussions with him, so you could understand.
Sure, because I'll work with Mike, and you know,
he has been evicted
you know,
from the Sub Rosa, and you feel that this may not have been a fair eviction, right?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think it, not from a so-called anarchist collective. No, I mean, if you want to talk about some commercial establishment or something like that, you know, they're all cocksuckers anyway. They'll throw anybody out they want. But this is different. This is an established icon of the community. This Sub Rosa, I've heard endless about it. I've never gotten a chance to visit yet, and until this issue's resolved. I'm not going
to
visit.
Well,
my question to
Wes when I emailed him today and I got a response back that wasn't too favorable for any kind of mediation, but was that, you know, that everyone should have a hearing. Everyone should have an opportunity to present their position. And I don't think, according to a Yellow Bee Brown, he hasn't had a chance to do that. But we'll see what happens. You know, the days lie ahead and hopefully we'll be able to get some more action on this, some more reasonable action one way or another. We have about 5 minutes left and I guess Uncle Dennis is going to be trooping into the studio probably momentarily.
All right.
I want to thank you for having spent some time here to, you know, with someone who's rather frequently interrupting you and trying to get you to hoe the Norse line, so to speak. And you've
been. Oh, thank you, Robert. You know what? One of the things. This is. It's a great honor to have come back after all these years and to sit with you behind the mic. We've done a lot of stuff together over the years, but this is new and unique for us, and I'm really digging it. So I appreciate the honor. I appreciate the...
And this with a man who had a fever earlier in
the
day.
Audience. I was very sick earlier. Yes, I was.
And I hope you don't get me sick or your history.
No, I'm not certain that was... I think it was my migraines, so I think we're safe. I'm not sure it was contagious in any way. But just to, you know, I want to say thank you to every, you know, this is something I've been wanting to do for a while, so while we got a second, I'll go ahead and do it. I want to thank everybody in Santa Cruz that's been so generous to me since I've been back. And you know who you are. And if you're out there listening, a lot of people have reached out to me to help me out, Robert, a lot of people out on the streets, a lot of you who are listening who have put money in the hat all this last year. Been very generous with your donations and your kind thoughts and your kind help. And Curb Hugger Chris really appreciates that. Come out and see me. I'll be in front of Borders and or Gap all the way through Christmas, including Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So come down and see me. I have this great new issue of The Street Spirit that I would like to hip you guys to, and you can get a copy of it by coming down to see me, again, in front of the Borders or Gap during daylight hours. And this issue is regarding Where's Our Change? And... It has to do with building a mass movement to end homelessness in America. And that's the lead article this month in the Street Spirit. So very, very awesome. I'm going to try to do some stuff, get some stuff together for radio to tie into that lead article in the Street Spirit. So come on down, get yourself a copy of it. I'll have plenty. And say hi. Let me know that you heard the show. And what else can we talk about? Go to the website, www.freakradio.org. And support Free Radio Santa Cruz, because this is an incredible tool you have here, folks. This is our tool. This is our station, the station of the people. And the best way that you can keep this voice alive and being heard loudly is to support. There are various ways to do that. So visit the website, www.freakradio.org. Thank you very, very much, Robert, for having me tonight.
That was the lengthy version of Chris's departure. Chris, thank you again for...
Well, when you jump up from the mic and run away, I got a cover for you.
Oh, well, I'm just... what can I say? Anyway, we're going to go out on Sarah Marlowe's World to Win, and I'll be back on Sunday, probably about 9:30, maybe a little earlier. 423-HUFF is the number to call between times if you have anything to report. And, you know, that's it for tonight, folks.
Happy holidays, Santa Cruz.
Cheers.
Wake up. just a little bit of traffic for you there. Blast from the past. Uncle Dennis here at Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 and on the Wide Weird Web at freakradio.org. Welcoming you to From the Cream to the Dregs, our exploration of the music of the 60s and 70s. Takes place every week here at Thursday evenings from 8 to 11 o'clock. Just wanted to say I'll be here. So somebody's in the studio. Anyway, coming up in just a little while is our Brew of the Week, and, of course, 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Earth First Update, all the environmental news you can use, a half an hour of what's happening in your environment. And, of course, at 10 o'clock, we have an entire hour of one group. We call it the Spotlight Group of the Week. Don't have a candidate for that yet, but we will definitely be trying to figure out who is going to be your candidate this week. That's a whole hour of music there. And then, of course, at 11 o'clock, I go off the air, and the hour of Slack comes on the air. So stay tuned for all of that right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Now let's do a few minutes of Dire Straits.